welcome to Gatorators. There's been some mixed reactions to our catchphrase, so we asked the fans that if they would like to see a certain catchphrase, please suggest it. But until then, we go hard. My name is Joe Morgan, and with me as always is Griffin Tillis and Will Smith.
How you guys doing?
So, Will, how was your weekend?
It was pretty good. I was pretty relaxing without having football around. You know, it gets pretty crazy here in Gainesville.
Yeah, how about you, Griffin?
You know, it was decent. The Gators didn't lose. That was nice.
All right.
You know, we didn't play, but we didn't lose. So it was a good weekend.
All right. Well, we're very excited today because we have the first guest in our show's history. We have from the Pride of the Sunshine himself.
The trombone player. Pride of the Sunshine!
The trombone player, Freddie Masterson. Freddie, how you doing?
I could be doing better, but I'm doing all right.
All right. You happy to be here?
Oh, of course.
Of course. All right. So, Freddie, what's it like playing in the band?
Well, I'm a freshman. It's my first year playing in the Pride of the Sunshine. It's definitely a lot of time. It's a big time commitment when you first signed up for it. Like, for example, every single day you're working, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and of course Saturdays on game days. So really Wednesdays and Sundays are your only breaks.
Wow.
And yeah, it's pretty
it's
tough.
A lot of time.
Yes, it is. 2 hours a week, well, 2 hours a day for those 5 days. So it's a lot bigger of a time commitment than I thought it was, would be initially, but I honestly have to say it's worth it. It's a lot of fun going to the games and being a part of like the actual like the crowd of being a part of the actual like Gator experience, the Gator football experience. Like, it's one thing watching the game from the stands. Another thing being that 13th player on the field helping pump up the crowd. And even though we've been getting a lot of criticism from it with the whole playing up to the snap, but it's an unbelievable experience, especially marching out on a pregame that first time.
Oh yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah. So what's going through your mind when you march out against Miami of Ohio? It's your first game.
Well,
it's like, what's going through it?
Well,
I feel like there's a story coming right now.
Yeah,
since you asked,
a little bit fresh out of band camp, there was a lot of my trombone buddies convinced me to take before my first march out for pregame. Convinced me to take 2 5-hour energies and two cans of Red Bull. So I couldn't keep my eyes closed. Like
you practically sprinted onto the field.
I sprinted onto the field. I remember tripping, threw myself up a little bit, seeing the crowd.
Oh, you were that guy.
I was that guy. I was marching out, seeing myself on the big screen. I'm not gonna lie. I did a little bit of a wave to see where I was on the 4 minutes. Yeah. Thank God I didn't get caught on that one. And just doing all pregame, I remember my legs were just, I felt like I was going to buckle just because of not even how nervous I was. Because I'm a newbie to the whole Florida Gators football. I'm more of an NFL guy. Mm-hmm. And, like, really the energy that comes out of like, such an environment, especially the Swamp, number one, best ranked place to play, like, toughest place to play. It's, like, it's honestly unbelievable.
Wow. Yeah. You know, one of the coolest things the band's done this year was during halftime of the Kentucky game, you guys dropped the instruments, did a single ladies dance, which, personally, I was a huge fan of. I thought it was awesome.
Got to have a little bit of Beyonce.
Oh,
yeah,
of course.
We actually mentioned on the podcast, you know, it was one of the highlights of that game. So, you know, why don't you tell us what it went into that and just how awesome it was.
We practiced it. Well, when we first heard about the idea in practice, there were, of course, like Snickers and stuff, and we ended up doing it, practicing it, and we got it down pretty well. And everyone was really giddy to see what the crowd response was going to be. And we were actually, that game, we were playing towards the student section. So, and obviously, they're going to get more of a reaction out of it, singly, just Beyonce, you know, getting dirty. And I was actually in the front row, like right there in the front row.
Yeah.
That trombone player getting down and dirtiest. And I remember looking up, we do this like head snap, and I looked up at the crowd, and everyone was just on their feet. Probably the biggest crowd reaction from the student section. Like I've, our band director said, probably one of the biggest reactions since his time coming here around like 7 or 8 years ago. So like, it's
well deserved.
Yeah, it's really one hell of a feeling. Like you really, I don't know, you really sort of feel like a player out there. Everyone's standing up there cheering for you.
Oh yeah, you get a little bit of a confidence boost. You get a little ego going on. Oh,
swagger.
Oh, yeah, swagger. Swagger. Come on. So and it, of course it complimented the really good game we had against Kentucky, one that a trend that we need to start picking back.
Yeah, going off of that, you know, when the Gators are down and they're losing, you know what keeps the band going? You know, you guys, you know, after a while, Gator bait's got to get old.
God, of course, you know. Yeah. I'll be honest, sometimes, I remember specifically during the LSU game, doing this a lot, don't let the band director know or nothing, Mr. Watkins, he's a great guy, but a lot of times I'll just put my instrument down, just look at the scoreboard, and just like, what is going, while everyone else is playing, it wasn't really till after the LSU game that he gave us a speech that was he told us what the job of the band is. And the job of the band is to keep the crowd like hyped and keep that 13th player like on the field and use that to the advantage to our to our home team. So unfortunately, even when we don't feel like playing, we sort of force ourselves to and try to get a reaction out of the crowd. And a lot of times times it takes a big play or so, and then we'll be back in the spirit of things. But the band really accounts for, especially with the Swamp being the most intimidating stadium out there, well, at least last year. Like, it really makes you feel special to be part of the band, that you're part of that intimidation factor. You're part of that reason why the student section just gets all wild, like, rowdied up, and the reason why we're such a great football team.
Yeah, I mean, the thing I've noticed is that even no matter how the football team's doing, the band at the University of Florida, I mean, you know, I've been a Gator all my life, but I still do kind of objectively see all the different bands. There's been bands come to play at Florida, or I've seen other bands play. They're really not anywhere near as good as Florida's band. We have definitely one of the best bands in the SEC, if not in the nation. We have a really, really good band. So even despite how the football team does, the band is always really, you know, real on time and really in tune and everything. It sounds real good.
Yeah. Well, I hope so after how many hours of work.
Yeah, exactly. So. Lots of work.
Yeah, so, you know, I imagine one of the perks of being in the band, you know, is you're on the field, you know. So how many interactions are there with the players? And
oh, God. I mean, I mess around with a bunch of the players every once in a while. Like, for example, we're about to get ready to march out for halftime. I believe against. Actually, I have a couple stories.
All right,
I forgot what it was. The I believe it was the Miami Ohio game right before halftime show, and Janoris Jenkins caught an interception right before halftime, and he ran right into the sidelines, right in like probably five foot away from me.
Wow!
I saw a section leader right next to me, and I just wanted to go up there and like sort of slap him on the helmet and be like, "Good job, bro! Good job!" Maybe do a little helmet tap. I ended up getting that experience, but I mean, like, I hassle the players a little bit. Like John, unfortunately, we were backed up into the end zone.
Oh man!
Right before halftime, and John Brantley was right there on the one, and I was sort of yelling at him words of encouragement, like, "Yeah, you can do." He probably didn't hear me, but of course, messing around, and of course, after pregame, walking back to the stands, you get to. Just the high fives from the crowd and stuff and running. And a lot of the players, like, I befriended a couple of players. So, like, if I see them around, I'll just be, "Hey, what's up, bud? Good luck in the game." So
that's cool.
That's actually pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Freddie, what would you say is your best moment in the band so far? Like, what was the one moment in the season where you were just like, "This is it. This is what I'm doing. You know, it's awesome." You know, just
probably. I mean, my first march out is, like, very close first.
Right.
Very close second, I apologize. But I'd probably say my first night game, which, mm-hmm. I can't recall the team.
Kentucky.
Yeah, was Kentucky. It Kentucky?
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? That was definitely that whole, and of course the game being such a good game on top of it, but like, excuse my cough, marching out on the field, like in the dark, and like I'm not gonna lie, I'm a little bit of an NCAA 2011 freak, and every time I play as the Gators, whatever, you hear the commentator come on, oh, welcome to the Swamp, Ben Hill Griffin Stadium, blah, blah, blah. And then you hear see the band on the field and all that stuff. It's really cool during a night game, actually being part of that, like, that band and part of that environment. Like, I keep on talking about the environment, but I'm just, like, I'm a newbie, remember, to this whole college experience. So it's one hell of a feeling, just marching out there, night game, crowd packed, just playing your heart out.
Well, we really appreciate you coming on, Freddie. It was good to hear your insights and just you talk about, you know, the band. It was pretty sweet.
Yep.
But, moving on to our next topic. Oh, by the way, we also like to mention, very thankful for Freddie for braving it out despite his cough illness. He's a trooper. So.
You're welcome.
And he's...
Definitely have you back, Freddie. It was fun.
Yeah. Undoubtedly the best guest in our show's history.
Absolutely, man. Better than everybody else.
All right, now we're going to move on to our next topic, 4th-and-1, where we either go for it or we punt. And our topic this week is Chris Rainey should play against Georgia. So I'm going to go ahead and start with Will on this one.
All right, well, I'm going to have to punt, not necessarily because I don't think he's not ready to play because of any criticism of him not being able to practice, but more because I'm not even sure if he should be on the team at this point. I think Urban Meyer is sending a mixed message when he's allowing Chris Rainey to come back on the team, when he's shown very firmly before that any mistreatment towards women leads to a player being indefinitely kicked off the team, and he has not let anyone ever come back from that before. So sending a mixed message to possibly a player who could be considered of higher caliber is not something Urban Meyer wants to do at this point.
All right, Griffin.
You know, I'm going to have to go for it in this one, actually, because, you know, I see, while I do agree with what Will said with about how, you know, we got to be, you know, we can't set a bad example for the other players and, you know, bring Chris Rainey on, you know, might say that to some people, but if you look at the record that would happen, you know, maybe he got mad at this, you know, the alleged girlfriend or whatever happened, you know, he got mad and I'm sure he said some things, but no charges were pressed. Meyer kicked him off the team, what turned out to be temporarily, under essentially Meyer's rules. The university was going to let him play, am I right?
I think so.
I think the university eventually let him back, but so Meyer was the one that had the strictest punishment for him. There were no charges pressed. I don't think he's in any legal trouble or any criminal trouble. So his record is clear. It might not have been the best thing in the world that he did, but his record is clear. He's allowed to play. And, you know, I think that just says that, you know, it's done is done, it's over, you know, let it go, but... Basically, I think we need to see him on the field just because we need, you know, we need someone with a pulse out there, basically. We need some people who are ready to get up and make some plays, and he can definitely do that. So I think Urban Meyer is going to put him in. I think he's going to need to put him in because we're going to need somebody of that caliber against Georgia and any of these SEC games coming up. We're going to need to definitely be playing at our fullest, and I think Rainey can get us there.
Yeah, the running back position this year has been a real struggle with injuries to Demps and Mike Gillisley. And Emmanuel Moody, and there's been talk that Rainey would play halfback against Georgia just to kind of plug that hole. And, you know, I'm going to have to punt on this one. I really don't think he should be back. As Will said, he violated one of Meyer's core values of the program, which was respect towards women. And I think it's kind of sending a mixed message as well, letting him back so soon or just letting him back at all, considering the violation. But, you know, I mean, from a strategic standpoint, you know, he's got to have him back. So it's a very difficult situation for Meyer, but, you know, I guess the best thing we can do is just trust his judgment on that. So, you know, if Rainey comes back, hope he has a great game and, you know, gets himself back on track. And if he doesn't come back, then he just won't be back. And, you know, he has paid a price and the consequences for what he did.
Yep. We'll just have to learn to, you know, make a team without him.
All right. Now, guys, it's Florida-Georgia week. Arguably the Gators' biggest rival. And so we are going to take a trip down memory lane here and share our favorite Florida Georgia memories. Some of them we weren't around for, obviously most of them, but you know, we just have our memories, you know, stuff that we looked up and
stuff that we looked up, YouTubed it.
Yeah, maybe we weren't, you know, alive for it, or maybe we weren't old enough to understand it, but you know, it's pretty awesome now. So yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and go to Griffin first for his.
You know, honestly, I got two moments that are probably some of my favorite moments just because of the sheer humor of the situation. And as bad as this sounds, they're both Georgia moments. One of them, because my mom's a Georgia fan, so when we watch the game, it's always me and my dad, and then my mom and my sister on different sides of the couch, different sides of the room. We don't look at each other all day long, you know, because that's the one day we don't like each other. The one day a year we don't like each other is Florida-Georgia game. So, you know, I try to look at both sides and everything, and I think it was 2008 maybe, or 2007, when the University of Georgia scored their first touchdown of the game against us.
Why would you bring that up? 2007. Why would you?
And they brought the entire team out on the field. Just out of the humor that was, just that they said, okay, everybody go out! Everybody go to the field! And there's just, Urban Meyer was just watching them, just like, why are you doing that? And they brought the entire team on the field. And you know, I mean, as dumb as it looked, it did send a message. It was kind of funny just to say that, yeah, okay, we're going to the field. And the my other favorite play is from the 80s. It's the play itself I didn't like because Georgia scored on it. And I think it won them the game. But the reason why I like it is out of my respect for Larry Munson. Georgia's Joe, you probably know what's coming.
Yeah.
Georgia's announcer. This is probably one of my favorite plays. It was the Lindsey Scott play.
Oh. Georgia was run.
Yeah, run Lindsey run. It was on, I believe, you know, they're on like the 5 or the 10 yard line and they were down by a touchdown. They had to get a touchdown to win it. And they literally had one play left. And everybody's like, okay, Georgia's gonna lose. They get a handoff or a little quick pass to Lindsey Scott, and the boy runs 95 yards into the end zone. And the entire time, Munson's sitting there, at the 35, 30, Lindsey Scott, 30, 40, Lindsey Scott, run, Lindsey, run, 30, 20, and he just starts yelling, Lindsey Scott, gets in the end zone, Lindsey Scott, Lindsey Scott. Just Larry Munson made that play himself. I didn't like it because Georgia won, but just listening to that, you just can't help but like that play.
Well, I think we just lost half our listeners. But, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and go with my favorite memory of Florida-Georgia rivalry. Which...
Yes, yours is going to be something that Florida did. Ooh, because we're all biased, Joe.
Well, naturally. Hey, who predicted the homecoming loss? Thank you. But anyway.
Too soon.
I will slap
you. Too soon.
But this kind of goes off of Griffin's first one, which I won't speak again for the sake of our listeners. But my favorite memory comes from the 2008 game where Florida just annihilated Georgia. Just absolutely beat the stuffing out of them. In 2008, we're in the final minute. Florida has the ball, you know, should be running out the clock. Urban Meyer has a couple of timeouts left. He decides to call those timeouts, and it was a beautiful thing just to see that agony on the Georgia sidelines just prolonged, and it was just so beautiful. It brought tears to my eyes. That's how wonderful it was. But yeah, I'm not going to speak much more on that. I'm just going to savor that memory for a couple seconds here. Okay. All right. Now, Will, what's your favorite?
Mine was done in 1995. It's known as Half a Hundred Between the Hedges. Basically, gist of the story is Jacksonville Stadium is being renovated, so Florida and Georgia have to do a couple of series, home-and-home series, and it's the first time this happens in over 60 years. Of course, in 1995, Steve Spurrier, he's the coach, and, you know, he kind of wants to stick it to Georgia a little for messing up his days as a quarterback. And it's 45-17 with 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, and he decides to run a flea flicker, which, of course, results in a touchdown. And, you know, he comments that he just wanted to be the first team in Georgia Stadium to hang half a hundred on the Bulldogs. You know, that's a pretty beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we would like to invite all of our listeners to share their favorite Florida-Georgia memories on our Facebook page and on Gatorade.com. And, you know, because we just love to hear your input, see what you guys think. And now, actually, we're going to move on to our predictions for the game. So, Will, I'm going to start with you.
Last week, I mentioned how I didn't think that the Gators were going to win majority of their games that are upcoming. This is, of course, one of the games I do not think they're going to win. Georgia and Florida are polar opposites right now in the momentum. Georgia's red hot. You know, they're coming off some big wins. Florida's slumping and has had their first three straight losses in over a decade? First time it's happened to Urban Meyer. And, you know, I'm predicting that Georgia's going to win off their momentum 31-21 in Jacksonville.
Wow. Way to be a downer, Will.
I'm not the one who said run. All
right, Griffin.
It was a good play.
No, it wasn't.
And it was well announced by Larry Munson.
It was not.
I don't even know what you guys are talking about. I kind of wiped it from my memory. But all those losses to Georgia before the 90s. But
anyways.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Griffin.
Florida by 7. I think it's going to be 28-21. Florida by 7. Because, you know, yeah, we're coming off of a slump and Georgia's red hot. You know, they're doing real well and everything. But you never know what comes to the table, the Florida-Georgia game. It doesn't matter if Georgia has the worst team all season long. Or if Florida has the worst team, they bring their A game because of the rivalry. Because they know what's at stake if they lose. You know, and I think the Gators are going to know that if they lose this game, that the players are going to know that it's going to be one of these teams that basically is remembered as, yeah, you guys lost to the Dogs. We had a winning streak, but you guys lost to the Dogs, you know, after a winning streak of winning to the Dogs, you know, give or take a few years here and there. But so I think the players are really going to step it up because they don't want to be remembered as, God, we lost to Georgia. I really don't think they want that. You know, nobody wants that. So, I mean, I think the Gators always bring their A game, and so does Georgia. So I think it's going to be Florida by 7, 28-21.
All right, you know, Freddie, what do you think?
Hello, guys, again. well, you know, I'm not going to lie, I'm a little biased, too. I think the Gators are going to win it. Let's say 14-20. I saw the Kentucky game yesterday. Well, I'm sorry, a few days back, and was a little bit intimidated, especially by Green, of course. You guys in the Heisman, right. Running for the Heisman. But I don't know, our secondary who hasn't stepped up lately. We have some pretty solid guys like Jenkins. I'm pretty sure they're probably gonna put Jenkins on him. He might not necessarily shut him out, but maybe one TD or so, but I think feeding off what Griffin said, the Gators know, like, we need to win this to stay in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was actually reading the Independent Alligator today, and Georgia is actually ranked in the East above us.
Right.
Which is, unfortunately.
Yeah, which is ridiculous. When was the last time that happened?
Yeah.
And of course, this takes a toll on, like, the players and how the players. The players should definitely be playing with a chip on their shoulder. Like, we need to win this. And because of that, we will win this. Well, at least I hope. So, I'm saying 14-20 Gators.
Okay. You know, I think all three of you are giving our offense too much credit. You know, 21, 28, 20. I mean, seriously, this would require multiple touchdowns, but
no way.
You know, I'm gonna say Florida 13-9. You know, Urban.
Wait. 13, like
a touchdown,
a bunch of field goals.
13.
Is this gonna be like 9 missed field goals by Chaz Henry?
And like 6 made.
No, guys, just 13-9, and you know, the offense. It's just I don't know about it, but you know, Urban Meyer is 31-3 in his career when he has more than 1 week to prepare for a game, and you know, just. I'm shocked that we lost 3 straight with an analytical mind like his coaching our football team. And honestly, I don't see him losing 4 straight. I really don't think it's possible. Georgia's red hot right now. Florida's kind of down the dumps. But, you know, I think they're going to get back to work this week. And, you know, we're going to see some Florida football. It's going to be ugly. A really ugly game. But 13-9 Florida.
Oh, yeah. And I actually heard the other day, guys. You guys will find this pretty interesting. They actually suspended practice at the Georgia field. Because they found an unknown white substance on the field. And this was back a few weeks ago, coming off some of their losses. They're pretty bad ones. And they found an unknown white substance on the field. Really? And then they looked at it and they analyzed it for a while. But then it turns out the university scientists found it to be the chalk from the goal line. But the players weren't going to be going anywhere near that. So they reinstated practice. So it was okay.
Oh, dig at the dogs right there.
Random.
Well, that's our show. We have a couple announcements. First of all, our very own Will Smith got a Twitter account today. So we invite you all to follow Will on Twitter. He's Will_Smith52. And I myself am also on Twitter at Joe_Morgan. We would like to invite you to send your score predictions as well as your favorite Florida Georgia memories. You can share them on the Facebook page, Gatorade, obviously, or you could share them on Gatorade.com itself. And another announcement, we are doing basketball coverage, and that will start very soon. So get ready for that. Going to have some hardwood action for you right here on the Gatoraders. But yeah, that's it for our show. We'd like to thank our special guest, Freddie Masterson, for joining us again. And we thank you all for listening. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and to listen on Gatorade.com. Thank you, and go Gators!